From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. With less than a week remaining before Donald Trump is inaugurated as President of the United States, organizers are preparing for the Trump administration. Among the groups organizing is the Black Is Back Coalition. In order to get ahead of the protests that are expected in Washington, D.C. on the 20th and the 21st, they're planning to meet in Washington, D.C. at Howard University this Saturday, the 14th. We spoke with the chair of the Black Is Back Coalition, Amalia Shatila, via Skype Thursday.
Many people have been terrified. African people have been terrified by the election of Donald Trump. And the Black Is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparation is an organization that was started in 2009. And one of the first actions we had was against the Democratic Party. In this instance, it was Barack Hussein Obama. We held the first national black demonstration against the Obama regime at the White House, and that was in November 2009. So the point is that the system has been working against the interests of our people, and this election that was just held represent one of the sharpest manifestation of that for a lot of people, just in terms of what seems to be the policies being promised by the Trump regime, the persons being chosen to serve in his cabinet. These are things that have been quite frightening. But the Black Is Black Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations has concluded that the bigger issue is the disorganization of black people ourselves, that we have not been able to work with our own agenda, and that we just get pushed around from side to side, trying to respond to the agenda either by the Republicans or the Democratic Party, hoping that somebody nice who will be nice to us will get elected. So on January 14th, after having months of national and state hearings throughout the United States, we are coming together a week before the inauguration of Trump so that we won't be drowned out by what's going to be happening on the 20th, and declaring that we have established a national black political agenda for self-determination, that black people ourselves have a responsibility of forwarding. And this is something that's done 24 hours a day, every day, and not just during the elections.
You know, this, starting with this election was lose-lose from the point of view of lots of folks, but particularly black people. You had either Trump or someone who has been identified with the latest upsurge in mass incarceration, with the demonization of black youth, with the ending of social supports for people in general, working people, and in particular, black folks were hit hard. That was the champion against Trump. It was a lose-lose. That comes after 8 years of the Obama administration, which didn't utter a word saying, oh, by the way, because of the historical mistreatment of black people in this country, there are special needs to correct that problem that have to be addressed. Never raised anything like that and never did anything.
Never raised it, never did anything, and that's absolutely true. And what ends up happening, certainly over the last two generations or so, African people find ourselves voting out of fear, not because we think necessarily that we've got a champion that's going to really support us, but because we're afraid of the other guys. An exception of that is that many people were deluded by the candidacy of Barack Hussein Obama and then the presidency, so that he didn't have to make a single promise to the black community, and carried out a very vicious campaign that really was something that not dissimilar from George W. Bush, except he could do it without running into the opposition from the black community and most liberals, because he was a black person himself. So a problem has been that for two generations, this government, through assassinations of people like King and Malcolm, and through the destruction of the Black Panther Party, revolutionary organizations that actually promoted an agenda for self-determination, the community has been left rudderless without any kind of meaningful leadership, with substitutes such as Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, who were both appendages of the Democratic Party. And that's one of the things that we've been struggling for. And the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations, which is an organization of various organizations and institutions in our community to found and promote an independent agenda and independent politic for our community. And that's why we've been doing this work over the last few years, and why January 14th is really important to us, so that we can come out and really further the development of the Black political agenda for self-determination that, as I mentioned, we worked for several months and had hearings throughout the United States in African communities to achieve. And so there's a 19-point platform that has been pulled together, and working committees organized within the coalition to pursue many of these points. And that's what it is that we want to bring to Washington, D.C. on January 14th. And I want to say that we recognize that we're in a contest that is certainly with the Democratic Party itself, because on the same day, Sharpton has declared he's going to make something happen in Washington, D.C. And Sharpton, of course, has been a water carrier for the Obama regime and for the Democratic Party for a long time. And many Democrats are in a state of extreme anxiety because the careers are at stake. And there's this discussion happening within the Democratic Party about how the party has been wrong for so long, and Trump has proved that what has to happen is the party has to go for the white workers, like Trump has gone for the white working class, or for middle America, white middle America. And so people like Sharpton and other Blacks who have founded careers and influence as a consequence of their connection to the Democratic Party are running scared. And that's one of the reasons we see the Democratic Party calling for its own action on January 4th, and this time in the face of Al Sharpton. So this is a very important time in history. We're convinced of that. We see the Black community, and especially young Black people who are clamoring for meaningful transformation and who are engaged in struggle. There's a consciousness obviously raised to the heavens, and there's this contest about who and what direction the community is going to go, whether we should continue to follow the Democratic Party, either in the form of Sharpton or Obama or Hillary Clinton or anybody else like that, or whether we should have the courage and the ability to strike out on our own. And this is the way we deal with a Trump phenomenon. But it's not just Trump. As you mentioned in the lead-in to this discussion, the Democrats haven't done us any favor, and they've done horrible things to us, not just in this country, but what the Clintons have done in Haiti is an example, and various other places around the world. So we need our own agenda, and we need our own organized capacity. And I think that that's what the coalition is calling for, and why January 14th is so important to us. Some of the people who are going to be there, like Glenn Ford and Lisa Davis, who is the vice chair, Zaki Baruti, who will be coming out of Missouri, who is leader of the Universal African People's Organization, and Khalid Rahim out of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, New African Independence Party. Cam Howard will be coming out of Chicago. He's a chair of the Amos Wilson Institute and a member of the National Coalition on Reparations for Blacks in America. Ralph Poynter, who's over political prisoners, Diop Olukbala from Philadelphia, will be dealing with the Black community control of the police. And we will be reinforcing in the community the National Black Political Agenda, the declaration associated with that, that says this is why we have to move at this critical moment in history when the entire system is in a state of crisis, and the future of African people, while promising if we are organized is also it's tenuous given the state of affairs. And so part of what will happen is that we will release the whole program to fight and try to win black people from throughout the United States to struggle for black community control of the police. And here are the instruments that we want to use to do that, wherever we're located, and even people who are not present, and to fight for black political, for black community control of the police as a viable, meaningful, democratic response to the police murders that's happening to our people, and something that's really affected the morale of the community itself. Cam Howard, who has been working for reparations for a long time, who participated in the Durban conference in South Africa, sponsored by the United Nations, that declared slavery and colonialism is a crime against humanity, and that reparations are owed to African people, and who has been working diligently for a long period of time. And we're going to lay out a proposal for how the community can collectively pursue this question of reparations. It's something that the black community has been concerned with organizationally, certainly ideologically and politically, for a long period of time, but there's no coherent approach to it, and that's part of what we want to deal with. We will have Zaki Baruti, who and saying that if we are going to use the electoral process as a way out of here, then part of what has to happen is we need to demand a coherent program throughout this country for proportional representation. We need to be looking into how we can struggle throughout this country for proportional representation, representation in politics, in the government, at least equal to the proportion of the black population as a part of a democratic a progression towards some real self-determination. And I mean, these are some of the things that will happen. And you know, M1 from Dead Prayers is the person who's going to be organizing the culture, most of the culture that will be happening. And there are going to be local forces there as well. But programmatically, the number one thing is to win, again, unity from our community with the question of having our own independent national black political agenda. Here it is. We've struggled over this for several months now. And here are specific things that we intend to do to carry out different aspects of that program. And we want to call on the African community to take the program, and wherever it's applicable and significant in your particular region, to push for that, to push for the reparations, to push for black community control of police, but also to push for things like full employment and a national minimum wage and nationalizing the banks and the whole question of gentrification, which is nothing but population removal that's happening throughout this country, to actually develop and establish this national black political agenda as the basis for struggling for public policy throughout this country, and something that can be fought for every day. In April, this coalition is going to be sponsoring a school for electoral politics to teach people how to run for office and to try to penetrate into the ranks of the masses of the people so that we can have a kind of representation politically throughout the country that speaks to the interests of the vast majority of poor working people, working class black people, as opposed to this handful of dilettantes who have assumed leadership over the narrative, the discussion for the black community, and as I mentioned, who are tied essentially to the Democratic Party. I mean, that's what we're fighting for. And so people, we are asking people to be with us at Howard University. Initially, we were talking about doing it at Freedom Plaza, but the weather forecast suggests that's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
And so we'll go to Howard University instead at the Blackburn Center Ballroom. And we expect to have several thousand people there. and who will be coming from various places from throughout the country, and who will go back to those places. Some of them already members of the coalition, some will join the coalition, and whether they join the coalition or not, they'll be able to take back this national black political agenda for self-determination to the various communities that they've come from.
Yeah, and a lot of these issues that are raised in the list of demands, there are, aside from the natural constituencies, in other words, the people that are aggrieved by, you know, by things like the lack of community control of the police, and their political prisoners or families of political prisoners, they're subject to mass incarceration. Aside from the natural constituency, you're seeing a response, say, on reparations. You see a response coming, demands coming out of the Caribbean and even from India. At the UK for what was done there, you know, that sets the agenda basically for a global demand for reparations for the slave trade, also for colonialism, both the historical and the ongoing condition of colonialism. So people are organizing around that. You see people that voted for Trump would like to see the banks nationalized, many of them, and many other people around the country. Full employment, I think just about every working class person in the country would be with that demand. So you have pretty fertile soil for raising these demands at this time.
Well, I'm glad that you raised some of the stuff that you talked about as well, because in the position of the coalition, this was one of the problems with the Obama selection and presidency, because as you mentioned, or suggested in the what you've just said, is in the 1960s and for at least a decade after, many people around the world were looking for the black movement in this country for a certain kind of leadership that was provided. And the reparations demand is something that's applicable, as you mentioned, across the globe. I mean, we live in a world where 80% of the people on the planet Earth are trying to survive off $10 or less, U.S. dollars or less a day. And that's at the high end of it. And all of this, we're talking about people suffering in places that are, in most instances, the source of much of the mineral and natural resources that feed the capitalist machine in the United States and throughout Europe. But yet here are where the poorest people are due to colonialism, and colonialism is the base, is the upon which most of capitalist production and the whole enterprise and political and economic configuration of the world today rests on that whole history of slavery and colonialism. And so when you make the demand for reparations, and it gets traction, it certainly has implications, not just for black people in this country and not just for black people in Africa and the Caribbean, but for virtually everyone who suffered colonial domination, colonial extraction, colonial oppression, and continue to suffer the consequences of that even today. And that's what I mean by Obama becoming problematic, because historically, the black community here has never been for wars of aggression, colonial occupations, and things like that. And that, of course, is what Obama has done. And while it's been done in the name of U.S. imperialism, it has had the face of black people, and that's proved to be a problem for us. And especially since many black people united with Obama because he's black, there's a certain kind of misguided and incipient nationalism that was associated with that Obama and the imperialist powers in this country used very effectively against our community and against much of the world.
Yeah, very effectively. It's certainly an only Nixon could go to China moment in that respect.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the demands is the U.S. out of Africa, Asia, and Latin America. And one thing that isn't common knowledge in the United States is actually the largest collection of black people in the Western Hemisphere is in Brazil, where they just had a coup d'etat.
Yeah, exactly, a coup d'etat in Brazil. And what's also not widely recognized is the kind of counterinsurgency activity that the U.S. has been involved in throughout South America that has impacted seriously in Venezuela and states that were close to Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, et cetera. And so there is this struggle. There has been this coup there. In the same way, there was a popular coup that was initiated in Ukraine under the Obama regime that was attempted in Syria, that actually was attempted in Iran earlier on throughout this entire process, and which. In the cases of Ukraine and Syria and Iran, and that did successfully happen in Libya, gives the appearance of being some kind of democratic movement where U.S. involvement is designed to respond to the call of the oppressed peoples in these situations. And Obama, of course, has been a perfect cover for that. But you mentioned how Hillary Clinton, gloating over the lynching of Muammar Gaddafi, who had been a thorn in their side, along with Assad, along with, at the time, Ahmadinejad, and you know, the whole Iranian state. So there is an effort that's being made by the United States government to protect the long-standing economic and political configuration stemming from colonialism and capitalism. And what we see is peoples all around the world fighting to take back resources that's absolutely fundamental for their own existence, and so that food won't come as easily from places throughout South America that used to be characterized as banana republics because they were controlled by United Fruit Companies and other U.S. corporations. Increasingly, people want to take care of themselves. And that's true of black people in this country as well. And that's why this question of self-determination is such a fundamental question. It's not just one that's peculiar and particular to black people in the United States of America, but it is a driving political issue that most oppressed peoples are fighting for. It is the basis for the permanent warfare that the United States is waging against peoples around the world, because people want to be free. They want to be self-determining, have their own sovereignty back. And in the process of doing that, we solve so many other problems, like the problems of environment, et cetera. Where, you know, as long as you're stuck in a situation where profit is the motivation for everything, there is no concern about environment. The capitalist system has no consciousness, and it has no concern about things like destroying the environment as long as it's profitable. And so anyway, this is going to be a really important event on January 14th. It's going to be at Howard University at Blackburn Center, the ballroom there, and I'm hoping that people will come out. And it's also going to be making a contest with Trump, with Sessions, with that regime that's coming into power, but in a way that is not just design. It's not just parroting, he's not my president, but Hillary wouldn't have been our president, and none of the others. We're saying that black people, a black community, must stake out its own ideological and programmatic and a political agenda. What it is that we have to fight for, independent of the interests of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, independent of Trump or Clinton or Obama for that matter, we have to be able to stand on our own feet. And that's what's being called for with this black rally, Washington, D.C., January 14th for self-determination.
And finally, the chaotic condition that exists, essentially the crisis that exists in the neoliberal economic structure and also the political economy, both in the United States and Europe.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you have the dangers of some of the things that Trump campaigned on that promote or at least appear to promote Islamophobia, anti-immigrant sentiment, or capitalizing on it, certainly. And also opportunities because of the contradictions that exist inside the elite that are represented essentially by Clinton and Trump. And on the one hand, looking at the global situation and the chaos that exists in the neoliberal empire, Trump appears to be, and this is apparently the reason that much of the elite is aligned against him, ready to reset the relationship of the United States there. And some people, myself included, are looking at the possibility of maybe rolling back the military occupation of planet Earth and trying to apply some of that money to infrastructure development and other things. Are there opportunities there, particularly if you can organize around these demands to be a player and help shape the force a shaping of the policy?
I do think that we should take advantage of all those contradictions. You mentioned some of them, but even in an election that starts off with around 25 different candidates from the two parties vying for the nomination, that's clear evidence of fractured of divisions within the ruling class itself. Yeah. Yep. And I do think that we should take advantage of all the contradictions and, you know, the possibility, you know, it's, but you remember Trump has something like three or four generals that he's putting forth for his cabinet. And that's not going to represent something that will intentionally undermine the growth and power of the U.S. military. But I think we should campaign, if only because of the rhetoric that he's used around those questions. Right. We see how Trump is also toying with China, and even as he appears to be backing away from the kind of policies against Russia, he is showing his fangs and promising, you know, like U.S. aggression there. But this is what I think is really important, that the system itself is in a state of crisis. And even as we make campaigns and struggle against the possible contradiction that we see with Trump, I think one of the greater issue is that the majority, a huge mass of people, let me say this, Trump only won with a 25% of the vote.
Right.
That 100 million people didn't vote.
Right.
That going into the election, more than 50%, almost 60% of the people polled favored, had negative opinions of Trump, and almost as much against Clinton.
Right.
And remembering that the electoral process is what is offered as the only legitimate way by which one can fight for power, change policies, etc. And this huge sector of the population rejected Trump, rejected Clinton, and rejected the electoral process, and were left out there with no meaningful way to respond. And I think that it's going to be important for people who call ourselves the left to not just be running around rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, especially if the Titanic is really a nuclear submarine or a nuclear warship, but to pull the plug. And I think that we need to be finding ways not simply to accept what so many people, and this is, I think I found a problem, what calls itself the left for so long, is we find ourselves accepting the self-definition of the social, of the system itself, while many people are moving away from it, even though they haven't found what else to do, they haven't accepted that. They did not accept this election process. They didn't accept Clinton. They didn't accept Trump, who won with 25% of the vote and lost the popular vote by almost 3 million. They had already rejected by poll Clinton and Trump, and that's a powerful statement. And what calls itself the left needs to stop trying to bail this thing out and find a way to bring it down. Of course, that's not the coalition's position. That's the coalition has not said that, but I think the fact that we say we have to achieve our own national black political agenda, that's first thing. And then I agree, we take advantage of all these other contradictions that we see there. We fight around all these other contradictions, around the warmongering. And I was quite pleased with Trump's position on Russia, backing off of this insanity. And of course, it's economically based insanity. Also, the declaration at some juncture about not continuing to fund all these minions of U.S. imperialism. We have to take advantage of that. I agree 100%.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.